verses. Fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity. For they, the workers of iniquity, shall soon be cut down like the grass, and wither as the green herb. Trust in the Lord, and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. And he shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light, and thy judgment as the noonday. Rest in the Lord. Wait patiently for him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. We see that this is a psalm of David. From verse 25, it would appear that it was written in his elderly years. He says, I have been young and now I'm old. And in the psalm, he contemplates the character and the designs and the seeming prosperity of the wicked. And the design of the psalm is to remove fretfulness. He starts out with, fret not thyself. And then he says the same thing in verse 8, fret not thyself. And then you'll notice in both of those places, verse 1 and verse 8, because of. People who fret always think they have a good reason to do so. That's why if someone is fretting and you tell them, don't worry about it, well, it's easier said than done, of course, but they have a reason. And so we see, fret not because of. Everyone has a reason to fret, or so they think. And we see the psalm is designed, again, to remove this fretfulness. And he goes on, he mentions envy, and he mentions anger as well. And the 73rd psalm addresses the same subject, Psalm 37 and Psalm 73, though written at different times and also by different people. We see Psalm 37 was written by David. We see Psalm 73 was written by Asaph. But the two psalms share a common theme, and that is the prosperity of the wicked and the suffering of the saints. And they both deal with the spiritual peril concerning those two things, the suffering of the righteous, the prosperity of the wicked. And they deal with the peril of fretting over these two things, fretting over the envy, or over the prosperity of the wicked, envying the prosperity of the wicked, being diverted from a life of service to the Lord. The result of that mindset is since the wicked prosper, since the wicked have it better than I do, well, I would be better off emulating their lifestyle. Or they might conclude, what's the use? What's the use? I try to do what's right. They do what's wrong. They're blessed. I'm not. What's the use? And both Psalms, both 37 and 73, address this issue. They address the same issue, but they do it from two different angles. Psalm 37 deals with overcoming this danger of envying the prosperity of the wicked from an instructional angle. As we'll see tonight, we see it. The psalm consists of exhortations and promises. To the purpose, of course, is to get our attention off the wicked and our attention upon God. Psalm 73 deals with the subject by way of a testimonial. Asaph speaks in Psalm 73 of how he overcame this and how he came out of this spiritual peril of envying the prosperity of the wicked. And he, just like David here in Psalm 37, gives the antidote to this danger. So in this 37th Psalm, David begins with the peril. Fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity. And then that is repeated in verse 7 and verse 8. Not exactly, but same idea. The word fret, of course, means to be anxious, to be worried, to be distressed. It's really more than that, though. It's an ongoing state of anxiety. It's an ongoing state of agitation, an ongoing state of mental or emotional disturbance. It's a state of an ongoing state of vexation. It's an ongoing state of perhaps complaining. It comes from the root word to gnaw away, to wear or to eat away. And from such we see the effects of fretting. That is, it corrodes. It has a decaying nature. It will not do us any good whatsoever. It destroys. It destroys us spiritually. We see the word envious refers also to an uneasiness, a painfulness, in view of, in this case, in view of the excellence, the prosperity, or the happiness of the wicked. Job 5 and verse 2, we read, envy slayeth. So it too is destructive. And we read in Proverbs 14:30 that envy is the rottenness of the bones. So it too is of a destructive nature. And then in verse 8 of Psalm 37, we have the word anger and wrath. Again, they go along with this fret and envy. It's an ongoing state of agitation. Now, you take each of these. You take fret, envy, wrath. And they all involve a thought loop. Every one of them involves this loop of thought, this cycle of thought. And by that we simply mean a chain of thoughts and emotions which just repeat itself over and over and over again in a cyclic loop. The danger is that we become trapped in a negative loop. That's the danger. We all have that danger. There's no one exempt from that, to get into a negative thought loop, and round you go. It's just like being on a carousel, and round you go. And you just keep coming back to the same things. And it's this loop that feeds fretting. It's this loop that feeds envy. It's this loop that feeds anger. And people say, I just can't stop thinking about it. Well, that's not so. You may not know how to stop thinking about it, but you can stop. You can divert your mind to something else. Now, it may come back, but it takes a lot of work, and it certainly takes a lot of prayer. But this negative loop feeds this fretfulness, feeds this envy, feeds this anger. And these thought loops, what they do is they hook us, and they engage us, and they're deadly to spiritual living. But what we see here tonight in our text is a spiritually healthy loop. A spiritually healthy loop. T-E-A. Same thing you drink. Thoughts, emotions, acts. Those three are always linked. You think, your thought produces an emotion. The two lead to an act. If we're in a negative thought process, leads to negative emotions, leads to negative acts, which again, the negative acts just come right around and feed more negative thoughts, which feeds more negative emotions, and there you go. Round and round and round. Of course, the same is true of a good loop. Thoughts, emotions, actions. We all have the gift of life. We all live that life. And we all live that life a certain way. And our life is largely dependent upon what we focus upon, how our mind works. To a large degree, this determines the manner and nature of our life. There's no getting around it. Our focal point shapes our thoughts. You can prove it. Just look at something for a while. And what are you thinking upon? You think upon what you focus upon. So our focal point shapes our thoughts. And our thoughts shape our lives. And you can be sure of this, if we are in a continual state of fret, you have a wrong focal point. I'm not talking about just a fret that comes upon us, but I'm talking about getting in that loop. You have a wrong focal point. There's no getting around that. There's no other reason for it. So throughout this 37th Psalm, our focus is directed toward the Lord. And if you were to read Psalm 73, Asaph, the majority of the Psalm, he spends talking about how terrible his life is, and then all of a sudden he focuses upon God and the whole tone changes. Same thing. But here in Psalm 37, notice the prepositions in regard to the Lord. In verse 3, verse 4, verse 7, we read, in the Lord, in the Lord. In verse 5, we read, in Him. Also in verse 5, we read, unto the Lord. In verse 7, it is for Him. Verse 9, upon the Lord. Verse 34, on the Lord. So you see, the focal point is the Lord. And then throughout the psalm, we read such phrases as, He shall. He shall. Again, He. That's the focal point. And in verse 4, it says, He shall give thee. In verse 5, He shall bring it to pass. In verse 6, He shall bring forth. In verse 34, He shall exalt thee. In verse 40, He shall help, deliver, and save. In verses 17 and 24, the Lord. Again, that's the focal point. The Lord upholdeth. Also in verse 18, the Lord knoweth. In verse 28, the Lord loveth and forsaketh not. In verse 33, the Lord will not leave him. And in verse 26, we read, He is merciful and lendeth. In verse 39, He is their strength in time of trouble. So you see, the entire psalm, he is directing our attention to God. And this is the antidote, this is the cure for fretfulness. This is how we fret not. Our attention must be directed toward God. So much so that he becomes the influential force in our life. Again, fret not thyself because of. Put whatever you want, and we could think, if we sit here and think about it, you could think of 1,000 things that you could fret about. Fret not because of. Whatever you can put on the other side of because of, divert your attention to the Lord. And that'll cure it. That will cure fretfulness. So that brings us to this spiritual loop regarding our focal point. Again, we cannot get in a thought loop without focusing upon whatever it is. We're going round and round and round. If you're going round and round and round in your mind, that's your focal point, whatever it might be. And we have to be honest enough to admit that. So our thought loop identifies our focal point at that time. And again, if we're talking about a continuous loop, not just a 5-minute one, but one that just goes on and on and on, day after day, week after week, month after month. It's not the only thing you think about, but it's always there and it's always popping up. That's that negative loop. But again, in this 37th Psalm, we're directed toward God. And there are 9 verses in this psalm that begin with a verb. A sentence that begins with a verb. Those are not that common. But we have 9 of them in this 37th psalm. Again, verse 1, fret not. Verse 3, trust. Verse 4, delight. Verse 5, commit. Verse 7, rest. Verse 8, cease. Verse 27, you have the word depart. In verse 34, you have the word wait. And in verse 37, you have the word mark. 9 times a verse begins with a verb. These are things that we are to do. And everything, every one of these verses is based upon who the Lord is. So it's something we are to do based upon who the Lord is or what He has promised, regardless of what follows because of. In other words, we are to act toward God. We're to act toward God. How do we do that? Well, we have to think toward God. We think toward God, we will eventually act toward God. So our acts are also governed. Not only are our thoughts governed by our focal point, but our acts, the things we do, are governed by our focal point as well. Now, we want to concentrate on verses 3 through 8. And each one of these verses requires that God be the focal point. And each one speaks of an act toward Him. And if we do these things, if we get in this loop, we will find it to be very calming to our hearts. And you'll notice in each of these things, each of these acts, there are no stipulations. For example, fret not thyself. There's no stipulations. Trust in the Lord. There's no stipulations. There's no conditions. There's no bounds set. There's not a condition. There's not a circumstance, there's not a time or place where these things are exempt. They cover all areas of our life. And if we can get into a spiritual loop, this spiritual loop will not allow life to get in the way. Once we get in this loop, it's just like someone who's in a negative loop. It's not easy to get out of that. And they have little ability to think spiritually. But this loop will keep life from getting in the way. It'll also keep us from nibbling at the world's table. God's people have a tendency to just kind of nibble at the world's table. Some sit down and have a feast there. But most of us will go and nibble. But we get in this spiritual loop, that'll keep us from that as well. And it'll keep us from adopting the values and the priorities and the lifestyles of the world. And we'll find it to be beneficial to our soul. I've been in many a negative loop in my life. Not one of them has ever helped me. Not one. Never has. It's not going to. Well, you need to think about those things. No, there's some things I really don't need to think about. And again, but this spiritual loop, when I get into that, and I wish it was more often than it is, there's no danger. It's nothing but benefit. So he begins in verse 3, trust in the Lord. We say that all the time. Trust the Lord. And that's good advice. Many times, though, let's be honest, that they're just meaningless words. They're very hollow. But this is a course of action. Trust is a verb. Faith is a noun. Trust, something you do. It's, again, a course of action. Trust in the Lord. What does that involve? Well, it involves recognizing God. It involves acknowledging God, everything about Him. That He's absolute, He's sovereign, He's invincible, He's the Most High, on and on we can go. Trust in the Lord. That's believe in God. But it's believing God. It's persuasion and confidence in God. It's reliance upon God. Trust in the Lord. You can't do that without looking to God. And you can't look to God without focusing upon God. So again, it involves looking to God, it involves seeking God, it involves turning to God, it involves fleeing to God. It involves taking hold upon God. It's living above and beyond whatever it is that's going on in our life. Trusting in the Lord. Trust in the Lord. There's energy there. There's vibrancy there. There's power. And it takes you beyond whatever else is going on in your life. Trust in the Lord. That will keep you near to God. And will keep you from that negative loop. Trust in the Lord. This is what enables us to stand in the storm and say with Paul, I believe God. That it shall be even as it was told to me. So what we have here is fret not thyself because of the antidote, trust in the Lord. Trust in the Lord. And again, you can't trust in the Lord without focusing upon God. Verse 3 also notice, and do good. Trust in the Lord and do good. So this trusting leads to doing. And it is do good do good. Not what you and I deem good, but what God deems good. In other words, it's to do what the Lord says. You do that, you're doing good. That is doing good. Do what God says. It is acting in the realm of God's will. So you see a connection here. Trust the Lord and act in the realm of God's will. In trusting God, you have to trust His will. And you have to obey His will. That's the doing good. So we have trust in the Lord. Do good. And you can work it back. Do good. Trust the Lord. Trust the Lord. Do good. It's a loop. And then notice verse 4. Delight thyself also in the Lord. Also, in addition to trust the Lord, in addition to do good, delight thyself in the Lord. That is, while you're doing good, do not lose sight of the Lord. And delight thyself in the Lord. That cures, of course, people who are miserable, supposedly serving God. Delight thyself in the Lord. That is, take and find pleasure in the Lord. Revel in the Lord. It is jubilance in the Lord. It is celebrating the Lord. It is relishing God. It's enthusiasm for God. Delight thyself also in the Lord. We're to find our gladness, our satisfaction, our fulfillment in the Lord. And this is so important. As we've mentioned many times, if your gladness, your satisfaction, your fulfillment is dependent upon circumstances, you're going to be up and down, and you're going to be down more than you're up. And even when you're up, it's not what it appears. It's really not the real thing. Delight thyself in the Lord. Delight. That's a feeling. To delight is a feeling. It's an emotion. It's an affection. But it's also an experience. Delight thyself in the Lord. Trust the Lord, do good. While you're trusting, while you're doing good, delight thyself in Him. Circumstances have nothing to do with it. It's delight thyself in the Lord. Let's be honest, there's a lot of things I cannot take joy in. But we can always find joy in the Lord. Always. He's to be our zeal. Delight thyself in the Lord. We delight in something, we tend to be zealous for that. Delight and love are almost inseparable. Delight and devotion. He's to be our joy. He's to be our passion. He's to be our hope. Delight thyself in the Lord. In other words, God's to be the song in our heart. He is to be the one who captivates our hearts. That's how we stay in this loop, by the way, is being captivated by Him. Do we not delight in what we see value in? We see value in something. It's not hard to take some delight in it. Delight thyself also in the Lord. Now Asaph in Psalm 73 verse 25 said, "Whom have I in heaven but thee? There is none upon earth that I desire beside thee." He saw value in God. That's when we will delight in the Lord. when we see value in God. I mean, some people really, I'm talking about some of God's people, really have to ask themselves, do they see any value in God? Because there isn't a whole lot of delight going on. Delight thyself in the Lord. That's to esteem Him. It's to cherish Him. It's a command. Each of these is a command. It's a command to appraise and to assess Him to be the most valuable and the most important. Delight thyself in the Lord. See that He is the most important. Again, that He's the center and the main and chief aspect of our life. Delight thyself in the Lord. I believe that's a command to put Him first. But notice what else it says here in verse 4. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and He shall give thee the desires of thine heart. So now we see there's a connection between delight and desires. Delight and desires. Now, desires are inclinations, our aspirations, our yearnings, our longings, our cravings, our eagerness, our passion, our determination. It's basically the impulse of our life. And there is a link between delight and desires. If we desire God, we delight in God, and vice versa. So here's what we have so far. Fret not thyself. Instead, trust in the Lord. Do good. Delight thyself in the Lord. Starting a loop. Trust, do, delight. Brings us to verse 5. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Commit thy way unto the Lord. That is, entrust to God. Hand over to God. Let go. Relinquish all claim upon our lives. You don't do that unless you're focused upon Him. And you don't do that unless you delight in Him. You don't do that without trusting Him. So it is yielding the totality of our being to God. Commit thy way unto the Lord. It is coming to the place where God's throne is established in our hearts. This is how we avoid the negative loops, by God's throne being established in our hearts. Commit thy way unto the Lord. It is living life in the light of His ownership, His authority, living in submission and obedience to Him. It is a life dedicated and devoted to Him for His honor, for His glory. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Take every aspect and detail of your life with the attitude, I'm not holding anything back. I give it all. Commit thy way. Commit all your plans, all your desires, all your wishes. Commit it all unto the Lord. So it's fret not, trust in the Lord. While you're trusting the Lord, do what He says. Live your life in the realm of His will. And while you're doing that, delight in Him. Delight in Him. And while you're doing all that, commit. Continually. All these things are continual. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Verse 7, which is really a result, but it's a command as well. Rest in the Lord. What he's saying there is be calm. Rest. You don't truly rest unless you're calm. You don't truly rest unless you're relaxed. Rest in the Lord. Can you and I always rest in our circumstances? Certainly not. I mean, it's pretty hard to rest in what's going on right now because it causes uneasiness. That's not rest. But we can rest in the Lord. We can be calm regardless of what's going on in the Lord. Rest in the Lord. He's the object that we're to rest in. Rest in the Lord. To rest is to be still. To be still in the consciousness of the fact that He is. He is. If I totally believe that, I don't have any problem resting in the Lord. Rest in the Lord. Again, this is a command. Someone might say, well, how do I do that? Well, we're talking about a loop here. The answer is, trust in the Lord. Do good. Delight thyself in the Lord. Commit thy soul unto the Lord. That's how you rest in the Lord. That's how you get there. So whether I'm able to rest in the Lord is dependent upon my trust in the Lord. It is dependent upon me living in the realm of God's will, doing good. It is dependent upon my delight in the Lord and my committing my way unto the Lord. Rest in the Lord. Now he goes on and says, and wait patiently for Him, which I believe is basically explaining what this rest is. It is to wait patiently. If I grow impatient, I'm no longer resting. Rest and impatience don't go together. Wait patiently on the Lord. As soon as I start getting impatient, rest is ceased. I'm no longer resting. So rest in the Lord and wait patiently. He says in verse 34, wait on the Lord. Now Isaiah says in Isaiah 30 verse 7 concerning God's people, their strength is to sit still. That verse says an awful lot. Their strength is to sit still. We read in Lamentations 3:25, the Lord is good unto them that wait for Him. Again, same as perhaps a further degree of resting, but the two go hand in hand. Being still and waiting upon God is to quiet yourself. That's what rest is. You quiet yourself. Wait patiently. That's quieting ourselves by getting our attention upon Him. That's how we rest. It is to look intently for communication for Him. So he says, rest in the Lord. And I believe this is also understood by verse 8. Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Cease and forsake. Cease means to halt. I can't rest. You can't rest unless you stop working. You have to halt. You have to stop something. So, rest in the Lord. Cease. Stop. Terminate. From anger. That's that negative loop. Cease from this. And forsake, leave off, wrath. What that is saying, summed up, is cease from self and self ways. That's how you rest in the Lord. I will not rest if the only thing on my mind is fulfilling my plan or whatever. There's no rest there. So fret not, trust in the Lord. Do good. Live in the realm of God's will. Delight thyself in the Lord. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Rest in the Lord. Wait patiently for Him, enduringly for Him. This is a good loop to be in. Each verb feeds the next. And then it starts again. You can work it backwards. And then again, it is just round and round and round. This is a good loop to be in. It gives stability. It enables us to stand. It gives us courage. It gives us resolve. It gives us determination. It gives us perseverance. And it helps us to keep our mind upon Him. And it's, again, it's keeping our mind upon Him that feeds these things, keeps our feet following Him. There's no downside to this loop. Gives comfort. Gives joy. Gives peace. And fills your life with power. It keeps us from being mastered and controlled by circumstances. We all have a tendency to be mastered and controlled by circumstances. We can be mastered and controlled by weather. But this loop here keeps us from being mastered and controlled and enables us to bow and to worship God no matter what. You see, if something keeps us from bowing and worshiping God, it's wrong. Whether it be a thought process or whatever. Well, that's why we're here. It's to bow and to worship the Lord. So what we read here in our text is contingent upon our conception, our focus upon the Lord. Oh, how we need to focus upon God. How we need to ask God to help us to keep Him in the forefront of our minds. These are hard times that we're going through right now. I mean, it's, as I said Sunday, you drive around and it's depressing. But we have to stay focused upon the Lord. You listen to all the politics of it, and it can get pretty frustrating. And man, I can get in that loop, round and round and round. It doesn't do me any good. It doesn't help me spiritually. So our focus needs to be God. And I believe we need to pray that for each other, help each one of us to stay focused upon God, because it's not easy. It's not easy. We have human nature, and every one of us has concerns about this whole thing that's going on. There's the concerns of right now. My concerns are after. But I'm not going to get in that. I'll get in a loop that I don't want to be in. But we just need to pray that God would help each one of us to stay focused. And we need to try to help each other to stay focused upon God. That doesn't mean that we're oblivious to what's going on, but it means that He's our focus. And we're just going to trust Him and go on. Pray that for one another. Brother Tim, if you come and just lead us.